Vanessa, describe what you're seeing right now.
It's dark. I can't really see much.
Try, Vanessa, just try.
Okay, Dr. Heller, I'm trying. I can sort of make it out. It's kind of... it's like a cloud, almost. It's got a weird shape. It's just hanging there, in the air.
Okay, now look at it. Look at that shape. Now think. I want you to think about your son. Really think about him.
Oh, gosh. Dr. Heller, wait! No! No!
Vanessa, are you still with us? Eddie, I think we lost Vanessa. I'm gonna go to our next caller.
Dr. Larry Heller. He frightened and delighted with his spooky callers, bumbling antics, and tales of the occult. Until one day in the fall of 1988, he simply vanished. What happened to this beloved local icon?
Join me, his former producer Eddie, as we dig into unearthed tapes from the radio vault and explore the life, times, and mystery surrounding Dr. Heller's disappearance. Let's ask the question we're all dying to have answered. What really happened to Dr. Larry Heller?
Genius prognosticator taken for knowing too much, or paranoid kook always destined to crack? Listen to the facts. Listen to the tapes and decide for yourself. This summer, fear has a new frequency. Tune in at thehellermystery.com.
The original kings of podcasting, starring Mark Chambers and Todd Perry. Episode 8, Creepy Uncle.
OG Kings. OGKings.com. We are the original kings of podcasting. My name is Mark. That is what I go by. That is Todd.
Yes.
Welcome. Thanks for listening. Settling in. It's been interesting.
Just revisiting this show, revisiting this dynamic.
Revisiting the dynamic. Getting older.
Yeah.
I know. So I've been doing, I stream video to YouTube. I stream video of myself playing video games.
Yeah. I saw this the other day, and actually I only saw it. It was because somebody on Twitter made note of it.
Yeah.
And then sent it to me.
Yeah.
And said that basically Mark Chambers is going the way of the weirdo, because you were streaming a game. Now you were streaming a game, and it was like 2 hours of you playing a video game.
That's right.
Where you were a 16-year-old girl, that looked like Parker Posey.
That's correct.
Which, if I was
this is a game called Life is Strange, and it's a very, very good narrative about teen angst and identity.
Now, I can't understand why one would want to, as a 38-year-old male that deals with 38-year-old male shit, how I could even get into that headspace and want to be a 16-year-old girl. Now, this girl looked like Parker Posey.
Sure.
So if I was going to be a woman, if like my spirit animal was a woman,
right,
it would probably be Parker Posey.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
Now, I'm not saying that I have a 16-year-old. First of all, the main character of Life is Strange is 18. So she's legal.
Did you see her ID? Did she put that at the beginning?
I checked the ID. I understand where you're coming from. So she's quite a bit younger than you. This virtual fate.
And you.
And me.
This isn't my fucking thing, man. All right, this is you. She is younger than you. If you just said, Todd, you're going to waste 2 hours of your life being somebody that isn't you. it would not be a 16-year-old girl. I would be like, Hugh Hefner.
18-year-old.
It sounds cliche, but I would, you know, Hugh Hefner 1958 sounds like, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. in Las Vegas in 1963.
Sure.
That sounds like somebody I want to be. Michael Jackson in any facet of his life, just taking some pills and hanging out with young kids.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was weird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I would want to be.
So, here's the thing.
Maybe they haven't made games of that called Sammy Davis Jr. 63.
I thought this game was fascinating because it was told from a female perspective and helps you understand that mentality a little bit more. I thought
now, why do you need to understand that mentality? Aren't you past that? Or, I mean, if you had a 16-year-old daughter, 18-year-old daughter to develop and turn into a strong woman, I get that. You're like, I want to get in that head in order to make sure that this girl gets good grades on her SATs.
You're making me feel creepy.
To make sure she doesn't date the guy who has the white shirt with the cigarettes rolled up in it. You know, the bad boys.
Is that guy still a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I fear him.
Okay.
If I have a daughter one day.
You fear the avatar of him.
Yes.
So I'm starting to feel a little threatened by this dialogue. I feel like my pure, unintentioned love of this particular narrative has been challenged and made creepy.
Well, what is she doing in this narrative? You say this narrative is so great. Is she getting her nails done? Is she downloading the new Katy Perry record?
She's just going through. She's going through typical teen female angst and anxiety and identity struggles, all while coming to grips with the fact that she can control time.
Oh God! Wait! So. Here's the deal. Here's what I picture in my head.
Okay.
There's a girl, and she's attractive.
Yes.
And she's got a pair of pliers, and she's trying to get some really tight jeans on.
That's not her at all. First of all, she's a hipster. She's got the messenger bag type thing.
Well, but that's what a hipster girl does. No. How do they get those tight jeans on, Mark?
No, she's not wearing the tight jeans. She's dressing like kind of a boy a little bit, like the hipster girls do.
Oh, wait.
She does it because she's a photographer. She's an artist.
Is she a lesbian?
No, she has complicated emotions about boys.
Oh.
So,
My question is, you say she's a hipster, right?
Yes.
And
I'm not going to laugh about this anymore. I refuse to be drawn into this web of
because she's
making me feel creepy about this beautiful narrative.
How do you get those jeans on? That's my only question.
Here's the thing. I feel like you're focusing a lot on the jeans.
Well, because 18-year-old girl.
You're making it like my whole life's becoming about the jeans right now.
That's my focus point.
And I'm saying, first of all, I have no evidence she's wearing skinny jeans.
I did watch a couple minutes of said video.
Oh, you gave it a look.
I wanted to know what you were up to, because the guy was basically saying that, like, in the tweet, I forget what the actual verbiage was, but the takeaway was, what has Mark's life descended into?
Oh, that's not fair. I was having fun commenting on this game.
You were playing the game and videotaped 2 hours of you playing the game.
That's correct.
With some girl. Now, I'd like to see who this girl is you were playing the game with.
Oh, that's right. There was a girl.
Yes, and you guys are both talking together about an quote-unquote 18-year-old girl.
She's not quote-unquote 18. She's 18. There's no quotes. It's quoteless.
Okay. So how do you get another female, which I don't know her age, which you rope into playing this game?
That's right.
And so you just go, hi, my name is Mark, and I really feel like I want you to spend 2 hours with me getting deeper into the life of the head of this 18-year-old girl.
So what you thought when you tuned in and listened to my stream of myself and my friend playing Life is Strange, you thought to yourself, she's a hostage in this scenario. She was chicken winged and coerced into joining this little charade.
No, my question was, how did you chicken wing a girl into getting into this scenario?
Maybe she propositioned me into having this relationship with me.
Did she?
No. But maybe.
Did you just... Okay, who is this girl that's playing? Have you met her in person?
Yes, we've met. We're friends. We
have you met physically or you met online?
We met
on a chat forum called Life is Strange.
So
.forum.edu. I don't know.
That's not a thing. Don't type that in, listeners. Don't type that in.
Because you'll see all of Mark's posts. Mark's sitting there saying, like, you know, I used to really like MAC makeup, but I found it a little cakey around my eyes.
That's nice.
Are you posing like a young girl? And then you play with this girl, and she goes, whoa, this is a dude.
That's nice. I like that. I appreciate that. It makes me feel good about myself. No, this is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So I had streamed this game before.
Okay.
By myself. Solo.
And you recorded it.
I streamed it to YouTube and it was viewable to all.
And you're narrating you playing said game.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
And you put that out publicly.
For 2.5 hours.
Because I always feel socially in life you are casting your net into the world and you're seeing who comes back. That's like, you know, we do a podcast, we see who comes back and listens to the show.
So you think that's my MO? I just cast things out into the world and I see who comes back.
I think that's a fair assessment. Okay. And here's my question.
Sure.
I don't know what you're getting from that.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what to take. I'm sure it's great. I'm sitting here talking into a machine and putting it out, and yeah. I get something out of it.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
I'm not judging you on that.
Sure, right? Sure.
B, who is the kind of person that then watches...
Who are these people?
These people.
Well, first of all, no one is watching me do it. So we.
She is, obviously, because...
Well, she's participating.
And she commented on your initial thing? Is that what happened?
Yeah, so she saw... This is a friend of mine. She saw my initial one, and she thought that it was an interesting game. She likes the game, too.
Yeah.
It's a new game. It just came out in December.
Yes.
And she wanted to, I was like, I'm going to stream it again. And I wish I had someone to talk to.
Okay.
You know, I'd like to have a good riff going and a good back and forth while I stream this game. And she was like, I'm happy to stream it with you. This is a thing. This is a thing people do.
Okay,
they stream
games. I don't know this world. I don't game.
So,
and I'm not saying that like I'm great. I don't game. It's just something that's not in my fucking orbit.
So let's get into it a little further. So I got a comment from a listener of a past project.
Okay,
of ours.
They commented on the video.
On the video. Now, I don't do these for viewership. I do them because I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Same reason I do this. Same reason I did the past projects.
Yeah.
And I got a comment from someone who was a listener of one of my previous endeavors. And the comment was... And so they commented on everyone. They spammed every one of the videos I had on my channel.
Now, that's another level is the guy watching... You do this, who is a fan of the podcast.
So, spams every one of my channels and goes, enough with this, bring back your previous project. And I was like, I get the emails and I ignore them.
You should have just said, this is much more rewarding.
Yeah.
I found out who I really am.
Yeah, an 18-year-old girl that looks like Parker Posey.
Yeah.
That's who I really
am.
That's
your spirit animal.
Inside.
Yeah.
And so, and yet, straight.
Yeah.
No one can figure that one out. People have tried to crack this nut and failed. and so I had that whole, I get that whole, and I finally replied to one and just said, why? And I get back. So I'm just out living.
I figured normally the guy shrinks away. Whenever somebody has come at me on Twitter about some podcast stuff mm-hmm. and has been kind of dickish about it,
mm-hmm.
when I throw back, it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I love your show. Like, you know.
So I said, why? And I wish I had the foresight to pull it up on my phone. But I can paraphrase pretty well because you know how they brand cows?
Yeah.
With like that... Yeah, that's like that. This response in my brain was because your videos are boring.
So the guy took time to watch him.
And nobody wants to watch a 30-year-old having fun. Go back and do your podcast.
All right.
All of these sentences were punctuated with periods.
Okay.
And that was it.
Just straight points.
Just because your videos are boring.
Because,
period.
I
nobody wants to watch a 30-year-old having fun. Period. Go back and do your podcast. Period.
I like the fact that people have such a one-dimensional idea of people thinking, you that evening said, I could do this.
Yep.
Or I could bring back the old
old show.
Right. I had two options that night.
And so that really actually set off a chain of thinking in my brain that, one, I had the free time at 9 to 11 p.m. on a weeknight alone in my apartment to do that stream. And two, that people my age don't really get to do that kind of thing, right, and get away with it.
See, I'm down with you having that freedom.
Really?
Yes. As a man that is married, that if, you know, I came home and at 9 o'clock at night, my wife was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm playing this game where I'm acting like Parker Posey and I'm hanging out with this rando chick on the internet and I'm filming it and putting it up there.
Yeah.
She'd be a little taken aback by it.
No, I mean,
As she is with what we're doing right now.
No, very taken aback. A little taken aback is very weak.
Yeah.
It's very taken aback.
So what it comes to.
Yeah.
Is that I see that this is just another kind of part and parcel thing of something we discussed earlier where you are getting close to being creepy uncle.
Okay. Yeah. We so this has come up before.
Yeah.
I reached out to Todd via text. No, I'm sorry, Facebook, because all the hip kids.
Was this a Facebook interaction?
This was a Facebook Messenger thing, I believe. And I was talking about a girl I was seeing. And Todd responds, and says a name.
Yeah.
And I said, and he's like, that girl you brought by when you, you know, that was lurking in the background when you did Far Out.
Yeah.
The other week.
Current project.
Yeah. And I said, no, different girl.
Yeah.
And Todd goes, you know, I can't really keep track. You know, you bring girls to my wedding that then no one ever sees again. And then you bring girls to the podcast.
I think the wedding girl defriended me recently on Facebook because I haven't seen anything from her of recent.
I would expect that.
I kept her as a friend on Facebook because she went to my wedding.
Yeah.
I kept up with her. But on social media, there are about 7 different women that show up in all my various feeds that have added me because of you.
Yeah.
And now you're done with them.
So
you are littering my social feeds with these various women. So, and I'm fucking done with it.
What I've learned is
you should tell them, wait to add Todd for at least a 6-month relationship.
I've learned that I'm the least desirable man in my circle of friends.
Okay.
Because I date these girls.
You need to get new friends.
And
you
they
get less desirable friends.
And they add Todd Perry and the rest of the gang.
Yeah.
The gang of eight, as I call my close friends.
Yes, well, they like me.
And I'm the one that gets dropped. And then the rest go on to discuss Brit pop and Anglophile topics in great detail on Todd's Facebook page.
Right. I go back and forth discussing great Britpop stuff with some of your exes. And those are the great ones you brought into my orbit.
Yeah. And
I just found out the other day that Blur is coming out with a new record because of one of your exes.
Yeah. And that girl I would have never broken up with. She broke off contact with me.
And what did you do?
What
precipitated this?
I was a little crazy. I was a little hard to deal with.
You're kind of up for a little while.
I was kind of, and then I kind of went down, and then she got me on the down.
Yeah, and that's where they get you.
That's So then
they ride the pony on the up.
Yeah,
they love the up.
Yeah, everybody loves the up.
Yeah,
no one likes the down. I don't like the down.
I've seen the down.
Everybody's seen the down. It's the people that have hung in there. Those are the people I podcast with.
Well, it's the up and down which helped to create the OG kings of podcasting.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten better. Age combined with medication, I don't know. Yeah. But the point remains that I've also sort of, the reason it's gotten better is because I've sort of given up what you're describing. Partially because of what you're describing.
Yeah.
I have reached a crossroads where I have to decide if I'm just going to stream games where the main character looks like Parker Posey, or am I going to resign myself to having a different lady around every 6 to 9 months, or nothing.
Well, see, here's the deal.
I mean, there is no third option. In my mind, those are the only two choices. Either nothing and I'm streaming games.
No.
Or I'm just having a new lady constantly and I can never make it work.
No, I propose a third option.
Mm.
I propose a third idea, which means you overcoming these tendencies and that you eventually becoming somebody that has stable relationships and you're not the creepy uncle. You're not the creepy uncle showing up at Christmas every year with a new woman. You're not my Uncle Kenny that married a woman in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Mm.
And the women got... They get worse as the time goes on.
Yeah.
You think at this point you're going to bring around a cute girl at Christmas. 10 years down the road, she's 30% less, right?
Yeah.
10 years beyond that down the road, she's 30% less of that.
Yeah.
So I came up with a list of ways that you can avoid becoming creepy uncle living in the basement of somewhere.
You have a list in your hand. You have hard prep.
I have hard prep.
I also like to think that combined with my status in life, it would be my own basement. I would put my bedroom in the basement.
No. You would gravitate towards someone else's.
Really?
Because that's just the way of your people.
So I would just have a bunch of money I was just sitting on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the thing. It's like the where does he get it? But he kind of stinks and wears Hawaiian shirts.
Mm.
You know? Mm. But then you kick down with a really fat gift for the nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Okay, so it's just like he lives in his basement. He wears like old tattered clothes. He doesn't shower a lot. He drives an old crappy car. But then like... the niece jokingly asked for a pony and he pulled out 5 years worth of stable fees and a world-class show pony.
That's what's going to happen. That's my Uncle Kenny.
Okay.
That I had from West Virginia that I grew up that now is now. Here's what's going to happen. My Uncle Kenny, last we heard, sent him a Christmas.
Oh, I love any story that says last we heard.
Last we heard.
Okay.
I sent him a Christmas card to his place in... Arizona.
Sure. Sedona?
That's outside of Phoenix.
Oh.
Yeah. And me and my sister, we both sent out Christmas cards and they got returned.
Oh, no.
So we called his old residence and the new people that bought his house said, Ken? Ken's living off a boat.
What?
In Florida.
Oh, no.
So we went out there. This guy created the first ever betting program for NFL football for computers.
Really?
And the guy made bank. He bought, like, last time I saw him, he bought a Corvette and drove it to South Carolina to my dad's 60th birthday. Haven't seen him since. My dad's 75 now.
Wow.
He drove out there in his brand new Corvette. He bought cash, hung out, then fucked off.
I would probably disappear too.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I want to keep you in a steady relationship.
Okay.
B, I don't want you to disappear on everyone.
Do you think that I have this in me, one, and two, deserve it?
A, you just fucked off and went up to San Francisco from all your loved ones in Southern California.
That's correct.
Okay.
But hey, so...
But, you previously lived in Florida.
I did.
And then you came out... to Los Angeles.
So I did it to them too.
You've done it three times to people.
That's correct.
So what's holding you to anything or anybody?
Nothing.
So here's the deal. I'm going to give you some tips in order to reel you in.
Okay.
Get you in a stable relationship.
Sure, sure.
And keep you from being fucking creepy.
Okay. So am I creepy?
No, look at your hair.
What's wrong with my hair?
It's getting weird.
Why is it weird?
you've got this odd wave coming down in front of the face.
Okay.
You showed up to my house today, and what did I tell you? I said, you look haggard.
You said, you look haggard from the road, and I waited and later said, I don't. This is just how I look.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I'm
my trying. Hair, seriously?
It's getting floppy.
Is it too long?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you just jealous?
I'm a little jelly.
Okay. I mean, because it feels really good to run your hands through all of it.
So the first thing is, to avoid you becoming a creepy uncle,
okay,
you have to avoid all hobby shacks and model train stores.
Oh.
Because eventually, after sitting in that basement, sitting around, pretending like you're Parker Posey, you're going to go, I want something I can touch.
It's like physical.
Yeah.
But not Parker Posey.
Yeah. And you're going to be like, you're going to see a good HO scale train. And you're going to see that, and you're going to want to run that around and just run the electricity through it and feel the vibrations of life, but still from a quiet distance from the rest of reality. And these obsessions will avoid you having the touch of a loving woman. Not just some rando chick that you meet online.
But like a loving woman.
Yes.
But how do you...
Have you ever been pulled towards model trains? Have you ever seen a model train and went and thought, this is me?
So I went recently to a model train store in Santa Monica.
Oh, no. The one in Culver City? The one off Sepulveda?
Is it in Culver City?
It's a good one. There is a fat guy with a crazy neck beard that sits in the back that's like, I'm sitting here and I'm working out this HO train scale.
Yeah.
This looks just like the Northern Line from the mid-70s in Ohio.
I was fascinated by the passion and by the detail. And I thought, now if that...
Did you want to take that next step? Did you want to buy that first Burlington Northern?
So I thought, this is something that it's really delicate and it's really special and people put a lot of time into it. And really...
And you can eat up a lot of time between 9 and 11 o'clock at night.
The more time you have, the better the outcome will be.
Yeah.
So if you have the most free time, just all the free time, you can have some pretty bitchin' model trains.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying this for myself, but other people, I get it.
You have also had quite the interest in transportation. Now, not quite like a friend of ours we used to do the show with, who used to be able to talk about transportation and freeways and train lines. Another thing I think you should do is... I think you need to mind on a previous show. I mentioned the fact that you have an issue called shelf butt.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal.
You've mentioned this several times since I've been here, and I'm worried that it's gotten worse.
Well, here's the deal. Eventually, once you kind of adapt this creepy uncle role, the shelf butt will get out of control.
Okay.
Now, every creepy uncle always has one odd physical deformity that everybody can point to and go, right, that's why.
Oh, the guy with the big butt.
So
he's just, his butt just goes to Texas.
Your ass will be so out of control that you will have reason to delve into this weird basement dwelling.
Well, because no one will love you. Anyway.
No. It won't be real love.
Because of your butt.
I mean, you'll be paying bills for strippers or that random girl with all the turquoise Indian jewelry that you bring around every year.
Right.
At Christmas.
So it'll be those girls, but no one will truly love you because of the size of your butt.
That's right.
So
I'm very concerned about this. So you need to keep the shelf butt intact. I'm trying to mainline you.
So I need to...
I don't want you to be in the special classroom at the school. So I want you to be with the rest of the fourth graders.
Before I leave Los Angeles, I should get my hair cut. Back down to where I used to keep it.
Yeah.
And how do I do the shelf butt thing? Just for start wearing skinnier jeans?
Pilates.
So you're saying I need to work out.
I mean, no, I'm just saying you either work out or less Buffalo Wild Wings. That's your option.
They don't go to your butt.
Yes, they do. some people that go to the butt, it doesn't go to my butt, it goes to my face.
You're sitting here and you're going to look me in the eye across the studio and tell me that my butt's gotten bigger since the last time you saw me.
I'm saying it's a concern.
Okay.
I'm saying it's part of the archetype which you're running towards.
Mm.
You need to avoid it. Another thing is, you need to stick to traditional forms of alcohol.
Mm.
Because creepy uncle always drinks something a little weird.
Okay.
And smells of something a little weird.
Okay.
Like, you'll show up and be like, what? I can't have schnapps at Thanksgiving?
I can't have a Tom Collins?
Right.
Do you have any Collins mix?
And also, it's usually weird colors of alcohol.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, I bought some Brass Monkey on the corner. Yeah. Right? And you'll have this...
Boy, I'm creepy poor uncle in this scenario. I have no money at all.
No. You're
it's all tied up in drains.
Poor and no taste are not mutually exclusive.
Oh, right? Okay.
And also you're gonna come in with like either like some kind of weird wine, or you know, and you're gonna start drinking stuff that is named after a geographic location. It's like oh Mark's here, Uncle Mark's here. Get out your Canada's Best. Or like your old Milwaukee.
Okay.
Or it's something named after a geographic location, and you're gonna start really taking a liking towards that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like you used to, and I hated this.
Mm.
Hated it.
Oh.
You used to drink a drink called Bombay Sapphire.
Yeah.
Gin.
Yeah.
Whenever you drank this on a previous project.
On a show, yeah.
You would get just well MF'd. You just get well fucked up. Now, Bombay, geographical location.
Mm.
All right. Actually now known as Mumbai. So it's a geographical location that no longer exists anymore. 10 times fucking worse.
It started already. And you observe this just even today. So I like to think that I've made even progress to get out of that hole, because like you observe, we got interrupted. You had a crisis to deal with, so we had to interrupt the recording of the show. And I was just, and you probably got nervous because I was just sitting zoned out, not responsive, super down, looking at my phone. And then the moment the show started back up, I was back.
Yes.
Because I got off the gin.
That's right. You would have been dead to rights.
Yeah. I don't do the gin when I'm working now.
Good.
I do, but I will do the gin. Here's the thing. I do the gin when I'm out socially.
That's
I do
bad.
A gin and club soda.
Ain't no woman want to be with a gin and soda man.
Here's the thing. Gin and soda.
Gin is a freak drink.
Super low calorie.
Mm. Which is good for the shelf butt.
It's good for the shelf butt. I've lost, since I moved to San Francisco, I've lost 11 pounds and then probably put 2 or 3 back on recently because of the food I've been eating.
Mm-hmm. Bread bowls. Clam chowder and bread bowls.
But partially because I switched off of casually drinking beer and switched on to casually drinking gin and club soda.
So there's other shit you need to...
All right.
I'll go fix it.
F myself for trying to defend myself.
Okay, so one of the major archetypes of the creepy uncle... is a man who dwells on one thing that happened in his past.
Oh, no.
And I think that there's a relationship with a girl in Denver, which is an overarching thing that plagues your psyche. Okay? And every creepy uncle will eventually, you're just sitting down, you're having a great time, he's having a schnapps, and he's talking to you, and he's like, well, so how is Christmas there, Totter? And I'm like,
why am I talking like that?
And I'm like, oh, Christmas has been very good. So, you know what the worst Christmas was the year when I got left by Jenny, who worked at the Panera Bread. And then you go off on that forever, and you're like, that was the sweetest tang I ever had.
Mm.
And that ends up being you.
Yeah.
And I think that possibly this Denver girl, through many times dealing with you, has a burn on your psyche that you still need to get over.
Okay.
And that maybe the cheap, geographically named booze is something to hide that scar.
It softens the blow
on the psyche.
Yeah. I have no response on that. I have no comment on that. I feel like I should run it by the girl from Denver to see what her thoughts are. Mm-hmm. Like maybe mention, maybe I'm hung up on her and see what she thinks about that.
Mm. Maybe you should call her.
Maybe. Just see what's up.
Maybe you should text her for the third time today.
Damn it.
Yeah. And finally, creepy uncles.
Yes.
The problem with creepy uncles is, and you may not, this is not an obvious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's they tend to live in dwellings that are not street level. So it's like, my buddy Oscar, I love Oscar, recently broke up with his girlfriend, okay. Moved above a garage.
Oh.
In Alhambra.
It's not street level.
And he's like, I'm a man that lives above a garage. Mm. So the other day I asked him to come out to a party, and I said, he said, I can't make it. I said, why? He goes, I'm having an $1,100 Lazy Boy delivered to my apartment above a garage.
Right.
And the man who lives above a garage is a certain type of man.
Yeah. A man who lives above a garage that has an $1,100 Lazy Boy is interesting to me.
Yes.
That's interesting.
That could be what you want to be. Now, most guys that live above a garage think they're Fonzie. But you're not Fonzie. You're not Fonzie.
No one's Fonzie.
Hey, and there's no elevator going up above that garage. That's all straight outdoor stairs.
And you know, here's the thing about Fonzie. Was Fonzie...
Wait, by the way.
What?
Any point in a podcast, here's the deal about Fonzie.
Never mind. I have nothing.
No? You have any Henry Winkler material,
James? I was going to say.
Well, the other day, I watched this Happy Days marathon, and I noticed that the show really went to shit after Fonzie tried to jump a shark.
Let me run down for you my thoughts. Was Fonzie Fonzie?
What?
Now Mark's life is headed down a most dreadful path. Will he listen to Todd and get his life back on track? Or in the basement he'll dwell all alone like a creep. A life so unlike an original king.